At this point in the service, we have a section called The Spot, which can be almost anything, but for the last 4 weeks, and now for this week, is inviting our visiting minister to come forth and tell us a little bit about themselves, how they got here, so we get to know you before you teach to us. So, Jeremy, come on down. So, obviously, you're Jeremy.
Yes, my name is Jeremy.
Excellent, thank you. How did you get here? Please don't tell you drove and parked, because that's already been used. So, what was your path that brought you to here?
Yeah, well, first of all, my parents are up here. Mum and Dad, Russell and Vivian, they grew up here at St. Giles.
Right.
So, we've got a special connection here. It's a great privilege to be able to preach here this morning. But personally, I'm currently studying at Moore College. And I'm not actually doing student ministry at St. Thomas's, but I'm working part-time at the moment and kind of funding myself through at the moment, and I'm thinking about doing student ministry next year, still working it out. Just love having opportunities to teach God's word and work on being able to preach it to others.
Well, in which case, welcome back to St. Giles.
Thank you.
Sit down, we'll have a song and a few readings, and then you're on.
Excellent. Yeah, well, good morning again. My name is Jeremy. I will take my mask off. Thanks for that. So thanks again for the opportunity to preach God's word this morning. It's a great privilege to be here. So today's passage is all about listening to God's word. I wonder if you've ever been in a situation where you weren't listened to. I remember there was a time when I was about 14 or 15. I ordered pizza from a Domino's pizza over the phone. And the Domino's pizza checkout person asked me for a name for the order. And I replied with my surname, Fox. Soon after the call was done, I made my way to the Domino's pizza shop. And when I arrived and walked into the Domino's, there at the top of the computer screen, which lists the orders and the time left until they're ready, was Sox. S-O-C-K-S. And when I realised that this was my order, I found it a bit funny, but also a little embarrassing. I thought my surname wasn't that hard to spell. Now, I'm sure if you were given time, you could also recall a similar situation that's happened to you. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's funny, and the other person doesn't listen to you, and the whole thing turns into a funny, non-consequential story to remember at odd times, like when you need to come up with an introduction for a sermon you're preaching. But sometimes it's funny, but sometimes it's serious. Our world is full of people who feel that they haven't been listened to. People like Black Lives Matter, our political activists, and the announcers at train stations when they have to call out for the 10th time, please stand behind the yellow lines. There's people everywhere, but I'm not talking about a situation that involves mere misunderstanding, where the other person hears what you say, but misunderstands it. I'm talking about when they hear what you say, they hear it, they comprehend what you say, and you know it, but they just don't listen. They forget, or they get distracted. It's frustrating when this happens, and I'm sure you can relate. Well, the passage that we're looking at this morning is kind of like this situation. God, the ruler of the most impressive kingdom in the world, calls people to join by listening and obeying his son Jesus, and yet so many ignore him. The main point for today's talk is listen and pay attention to God's word. First of all, here are some photos from when Mum and Dad got married here. Thought it was special. So the main point is listen and pay attention to God's word. But before I continue, I'll quickly pray, asking God to help me as I preach. Please pray with me. Dear God, thank you for your word, which is a light to our feet. Please help me teach faithfully and truthfully, and help all of us listen and pay attention to your word this morning. Please help all of us accept the life found in Jesus and reject sin which leads to death. Amen. Excellent. Well, that brings me to the first point this morning, which is listen to the word. Listen to the word. The first parable, the parable of the sower, is one that I'm sure that you've heard before. So the parable is about a sower sowing seed on the ground, and the seed ends up in different types of soil. Some on a path, some in shallow soil, some in thorny soil, and some in good soil. A parable is a story with a deeper spiritual meaning behind it. Jesus taught in parables to persuade people to think deeper about deeper things. By contrasting good listening with bad listening, Jesus is teaching what proper listening is like. But before he explains the parable to his disciples, he quotes from a confronting passage from the Old Testament, from a book called Isaiah. I'll read it out for us. It's there in verse 11 and 12. You might want to read it in your Bibles. Verses 11 and 12. And he said to them, "To you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those on the outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may look but not perceive. They may indeed listen but not understand, so that they may not turn again and be forgiven." The Bible says that there are two types of people. Those who live in the kingdom of God with Jesus as their King and Saviour, and there are those who live in the dark. This confronting quote, this prophecy from the book of Isaiah, which we read out before, Isaiah 6, is explaining that Jesus' parables do two things at the same time. Firstly, they make the reality of the kingdom of God clearer to some people, but they also blind and deafen those who continue to live in sin and reject God. In Isaiah's day, 700 years before Jesus, God was doing this inside the kingdom of Israel with Isaiah's teaching and prophecy. God was gathering a small remnant inside Israel. Remnant just means small minority. God was gathering a small minority of people who really trusted him with everything. And he's still gathering this group of people today. Now, from not just in the kingdom of Israel, but now from every single nation in the world. Thankfully, we get to listen to the explanation that only the disciples heard that day. But the purpose of this confronting prophecy is to show that the power is in God's word. The power is in God's word. Being given the secret of the kingdom of God is a gift and a privilege. And it also, this prophecy also reveals the unseen work that God has been doing across the world for thousands of years. God changes hearts one by one so that they start following Jesus as their King. And this work of heart renewal is one which we also need to participate in with all our strength. We need to listen to God's word rather than let our hearts be hardened towards it. Now let's look at Jesus' explanation of the parable. Starting in verse 14. So in verse 14, I'll read it out for us. The sower sows the word. So there's a sower sowing the word, and that this is God providentially making sure that the gospel is proclaimed in lots and lots of different places, like it's happening right now. And verse 15 says that the seed on the path represents people who hear the gospel, but then forget it right away. And Jesus explains that this is because the devil, Satan, steals the gospel away before they're able to believe it. Verses 16 and 17 is about seed sown in the rocky, shallow soil. These verses describe the response of fair-weather Christians, people who believe the gospel when things are easy, but then stop when they encounter persecution from unbelievers. They're like fair-weather sports fans who stop supporting a club when they start losing. And verse 18 is about seeds sown in thorny soil. Like the seeds sown in shallow soil, they initially respond in a good way. But then three things trouble and distract them. Firstly, the cares of the world. Secondly, the love of riches. And thirdly, the desire for other things. All these things distract and choke the person so that they don't produce any fruit. they don't tell people about Jesus because they're distracted. Dick Lucas, a previous senior minister of St. Helens Bishopsgate in London, once noted that these three bad soils represent the three enemies in the Christian life: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And finally, verse 20. Verse 20 describes the good soil, which is very receptive to the gospel and produces a lot of fruit. Some more than others, but each one a lot. The good soil represents those people who truly listen. I want you to think for a moment of a university or college classroom for a moment. I'm in quite a few classrooms at Moore College, and I think we can apply this soul parable in a small way to the classroom. But let's make it a specific type of classroom. Let's imagine that it's a classroom teaching pilots how to fly. You know, a picture of a plane? So the students, who are like the seeds sown on the path, are the ones who don't turn up. Students like the seeds sown in the shallow soil are the ones who persevere for a bit but then drop out before census day. Students who are like the seeds sown in thorny soil are ones who turn up, but they get very distracted, looking out the window or browsing the internet or live streaming sport while the lectures are on. And finally, there are the good students who are like the good soil and who they listen. And they note down stuff and they make sure that their assignments get in on time. Now, I want to make sure that as a student, I can empathise with all four types of these students, so I don't think that I'm better than any of them. But let's just imagine the consequences for pilots who don't turn up to learn, or who are so distracted that they barely learn anything. You wouldn't want to travel in a plane that they were piloting. It would have disastrous consequences. So let's think about the application for this passage. I think the question to ask myself, is which kind of soil am I right now? Which kind of soil am I right now? Am I the good soil? Now, it's worth saying that all of us aren't perfect. We all struggle with the lies that cause us to doubt the gospel, and we struggle with the temptations of the shallow and thorny soil. God doesn't ask us to be perfect, but he asks us to learn. He asks us to listen. But life and death are on the line, like pilots learning how to fly. If we don't listen to God's word, we won't be prepared to speak with God after we pass away and see him face to face. So I want to ask you, are you listening to God's word? What is your heart attitude towards God's word? And that brings us to the second point, which is pay attention to God's word. Pay attention to God's word. I want to read out a couple of verses, so verses 24 to 25. Verses 24 to 25. And Jesus said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you. For to those who have, more will be given, and from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away." This second parable expands on the idea of the good soil. And it makes clear that what it looks like to listen properly to God's word. Proper listening isn't merely intellectual, comprehending and appreciating the message of the Bible, but proper listening is about paying attention and changing the way we live. Verses 21 to 22 are a bit complicated, but in them, Jesus is, so this is the bit where it's talking about the lamp being put under a basket. In them, Jesus is talking about how the purpose of the parables is to actually reveal truth, not hide it. Parables test hearing. It's very easy to dismiss one of Jesus' parables, but for those who listen carefully, for those who pay attention, there is much gold to be gained. I want you to imagine for a moment if we were alive during the Australian gold rush in the 1850s and following. Imagine for a moment you decided to join in the hunt for gold. It would make sense to bring big containers to store any gold you find. But imagine if you only turned up with the pockets in your shorts. You wouldn't be able to take home any sizable gold nuggets that if you found any. So let's read verse 24 again. And he said to them, "Pay attention to what you hear. The measure you give will be the measure you get, and still more will be given to you." When Mark talks about the measure you give, he is talking about how much we listen to God's word. If we listen a lot, we will get a lot. If we listen little, we will come away with little. The bigger your measure, the more you listen to the gospel, the more opportunities will open up to you. So, pay attention to God's word. Bring a big measure when you listen to God's word. And that brings me to third point. Point number three, the word-built kingdom of God. Point number three, the word-built kingdom of God. I'm just going to read out a few verses. Verses 26 to 27, and then verses 30 to 32. So firstly, verses 26 and 27. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground, and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, and he knows not how." And then skipping down to verse 30. He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet, when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, bringing forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nest in its shade." So, these next couple of parables are about the kingdom of God. The parable of the growing seed expands on the parable of the sower, and it's about the spiritual growth of the kingdom of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's gradual and beyond us. Verses 27 to 29, describe the gradual process of spiritual growth. At every point in the progress of growth of the grain, it's beyond the knowledge of the farmer as to how the growth happens. He just puts the seed on the ground, and then it grows. The grain grows without him having to do anything. The next parable compares the kingdom of God with a mustard tree. A mustard seed is tiny. I think I've got a picture here. So this is comparing the mustard seed with a penny. You can see it's absolutely tiny. And yet, when it grows into a mustard tree, which is massive. Apparently, it grows very fast as well. When it grows to be huge and bigger than all the trees of vegetation nearby. So it's the biggest tree of vegetation in the places where it grows. And this picture of a huge mustard tree with birds perching in it is a picture of the eternal kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a kingdom which provides shade and provision for all who seek shade, for all who rest in its branches. The kingdom of God seems insignificant to the world, and yet it is what God considers most precious and important in all of creation. It's amazing. I wonder if you've ever played sardines as a kid. You can't really read that, but there you go, that's the WikiHow article. I wonder if you've ever played sardines as a kid. Sardines is a game of reverse hide and seek. So with hide and seek, one person hides, and then everyone playing has to find that person, and the first person who finds them is the winner, and then they hide, and then you keep playing. With sardines, it's the opposite. So someone hides, but then the aim is to find that person and then join in with them, and then you hide as well. And the aim is to be not the last person to find the person who hid. That's how sardines work. Well, the kingdom of God is like a worldwide game of sardines. But Jesus is the person we need to find. Jesus, the hidden but resurrected, alive forever King, he is the person we need to find. And the thing about this game of sardines is we're all on the same team. So we're not trying to sneakily find that person and be the first one and then and be the winner. We're all together. We're all in it together. And it's our job as Christians, those already in the kingdom of God, those who have found the risen and resurrected King Jesus, to help others find Jesus by sharing the gospel as well. I wonder if you can think of a few people in your life who you try and share the gospel with. Maybe someone at work, maybe someone near where you live, maybe someone in your family. Thinking about sharing the gospel can be scary. It's easy to overthink what other people think about us. And everyone who is following Jesus knows that the gospel is offensive. The gospel, the good news about Jesus, says that we are worse than we can possibly imagine. And no one wants to be a bad person. However, while it's offensive, it also offers forgiveness from sin, a new born-again life, and the assurance of eternal life. I reckon it's a good idea to come up with a thoughtful plan before attempting to share the word of God with others. Recently, I wrote in the front of the Gospel of John's Gospel, wrote in the front of a copy of John's Gospel, and gave it to a barista named Dominic at one of the local cafes in Newtown. I'd already spoken with him a couple of times, but I didn't really get to say everything that I wanted to say about Jesus. And so what I did was I wrote in the front of the cover of John's Gospel and was able to highlight all the positives of the Gospel that I wanted Dominic to hear. And I also wrote down John 3:16-17. I wrote it out at the end, and I included my mobile number in case he wanted to ask questions. He's since moved on from the cafe, and I haven't properly spoken with him since, but I'm really glad that I got to give him that. And actually, I've brought lots of copies of John's Gospel as well. So if you want to come up to me afterwards and grab one of these copies for free, so that you can also do the same thing, please do so. So, in conclusion, the kingdom of God is invisible to the world's eyes, and yet it's undeniably real. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed in the world's eyes, insignificant. But in the eyes of the Creator, it's like a massive mustard tree, providing shade and rest for all who decide to take shelter. The kingdom of God is advanced by the loving grace of God as His word is communicated from person to person. If we are in Christ, we are a part of God's eternal kingdom, which He has been building since He created the world. So, let's pray and ask God to help us remain receptive to His word, living each day in light of the good news of Jesus, ready to share the gospel in every opportunity God gives us. So let's pray. Dear God, thank you so much for the gift of your word, which helps us to see the unseen reality of the kingdom of God and gives us eternal hope. Please let us listen to your. Please help us listen to your word and produce fruit for your kingdom. Please help us pay attention, coming with big measures when we read the Bible or hear it preached. Please remind us of the eternal nature of your kingdom and help us live each day considering Christ's eternal rule. And thinking about this coming week and into the future, please help all of us make the most of every opportunity to tell others about Jesus. Amen.